right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move. It gets hard to see, but be bold and courageous. Follow where He leads. Greater is the One who's in us than he that's in the world. So, child of God, remember.
Wonder if there's anybody here this morning who has been through the fire and has found God faithful. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We serve a Lord who is a very present help in time of trouble. And He's also a tower, the Bible says, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. I'm glad this morning that the Lord Jesus is my strong tower. He is my helper, my Savior, my friend. And if you're saved this morning, He is all those things and much more to you as well. I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church right here in good old Powder Springs, Georgia. Good to see everybody this morning. Hope everybody's doing well. If not, I hope you'll be well by the end of the service. I want to thank everybody for tuning in on Facebook. Never want to leave you out. The faithful who watch each and every week, thank you for tuning in. And maybe even those, we do know that there are still some who actively listen to our live stream on our Calvary webpage. And so thank you for those who listen there, and even those who may tune in to our little bitty radio station we have through our radio transmitter who may be driving through Powder Springs that pick up on that, thank you for listening then. You know, we got that radio transmitter, speaking of it, back when COVID hit and we weren't meeting in person. We actually had an outside Easter service and we bought a radio transmitter. And that way, if you wanted to come, you can come and sit outside and enjoy the Easter service, or you can sit in your car and tune into the radio. And so that's how that started. A lot of things came out of COVID, didn't it? It has changed us forever, I believe, and not all bad in some good ways as well. And so we thank the Lord for multiplying the gospel even through that time. And he is still doing the unlikely during uncertain times. And so we appreciate the Lord this morning. And I do want to mention a few things before we pray. I ask you to remember Brother Brian as he's away preaching this morning at Liberty Baptist, I believe is the name, Liberty Baptist Church over in Douglasville. Please remember him in your prayers. Remember tonight we will have our Sunday Nights Plus service. But also we normally have a meal, a full meal, dinner meal, on that last Sunday night of every month. We've been doing that. So tonight, we've got Brother Larry on the grill, and he's the grill master, and he's going to be flipping some hot dogs and hamburgers. And so you make plans of being with us. Invite a neighbor. Say, hey, do you like hot dogs? Do you like hamburgers? Well, come with me over to our church. And it'll be a great time tonight. I do want to say we're going to have another special tonight. We're going to have Brother Jeff, he's going to do the chalk talk, as he did not long ago on a Wednesday night, where he artistically chalked out Jesus on the cross. And he asked me, would I do some reading as he's doing that? And I believe we're going to have a singer as well. Everything working at one time or thereabouts. So don't miss that. That'll be a blessing. Next Sunday morning, I got Brother Brian preaching. He was sick last Sunday morning. Certainly wanted to be here, but could not. And so we have him preaching next Sunday morning. And then, again, something special next Sunday night. He's actually going to extend his Sunday morning message and then allow us to interact with the message like Brother CJ did last Sunday night, and which was a very, very good time last Sunday night. And so make plans. Are you enjoying the Sunday nights in the fellowship, Paul? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just a different dynamic, something different, interactive. That's what we want, an opportunity to revitalize, to renew, refresh us as a church. Remember that. So that's what's coming up. Now I'm going to fall back on the prayer request. I normally give those first. But let's remember Miss Claudia this morning. She's not doing well with her breathing. She can breathe in, but the breathing out is a difficulty for her. She is just not doing that good. Miss Claudia, if you're watching, we're praying for you. We love you, and we're praying for God's best for you. Miss Cece Presteridge will have a pacemaker on the 12th of May, and she's here this morning, her and Brother Chuck. So good to see y'all, but we'll be so glad when you get that taken care of and on the road to feeling better. I know you'll be so glad, and you too, Brother Chuck. Don Capistrano will have surgery on the 3rd. I don't see Brother Tim Ledford here, but I heard that his surgery was moved to this past Tuesday from the previous Thursday. So let's remember him. Miss Christy Teague finished up with everything, with her stones, and the Lord rolled all the stones away, and she is set. She is, he blasted the stones away, however you want to put it. But anyway, we appreciate God working on her behalf. I know Brother Larry and Miss Connie, I know y'all are thrilled just to have her feeling better and that be dissolved, taken care of. Continue to remember Brother Larry Bennett as he recovers. Of course, it's not going to stop him from coming to church. And Miss Connie Norton is still hospitalized, I believe. Doctors are dealing with her with some heart conditions. They're talking stent. It's still not resolved as of yet, but just remember her. Leonard and Dolores Palmer, he received a good heart test from what I hear, but on May 9th, he's going to set up another eye surgery, so remember that. Remember Michael Bendy over in Alabama. He has COVID, or he had COVID. Not sure where he's at on that, but we're praying for him. I told him I would, or sent word to him that we would pray. And then Rusty and Chris Watkins, as his mother has been moved here to Powder Springs, Bethel Gardens. Just pray that the Lord will be with her. A lot of prayer requests. Sometimes we have a lot. Sometimes we are able to take some names off. But I just ask that you would continue to pray for our church family as we move forward as a church. All right. You glad you're here? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's pray, and we'll turn things back over to Brother Allen. Father, we love you today. We thank you for all things, God. Lord, we woke up to a rainy Sunday, but we do see the sun is shining now. And God, I just thank you for how you confirmed the message in my heart for this morning. And God, we'll give details of that here in just a moment. But Lord, I pray that you would be with all of these on our prayer list who are suffering, those in the hospital, those needing intervention. Lord, there are many needs that have not even been spoken of, God, that people just don't want anybody to know of. There's a lot of unspokens, a lot of hearts that have matters that need to be fixed and need direction. And so, Lord, I pray for those people as well. Meet with us in a very mighty way this morning. Help us be changed, be different, and always remember to be your representative when we're in public. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It's good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Will you stand with me? Choir, would you stand with me? Would you agree with me that God is just so good? He's been so good. You hear all the prayer requests this morning, but we serve a God who is good. And it is great to have you. If you're visiting with us here this morning with us, we thank you for being at Calvary. But can you sing that chorus with me this morning? It says, God is so good.
God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me.
He answers prayer. You believe that? What I'm excited about.
He's coming soon.
Do you believe it, church?
He's coming soon. He's coming soon. He's so good to
that one chorus.
God is so good.
Thank you, Lord.
God is so good. God is so good. He's so
thank you, church. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Well, it's so good to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in His house this morning. Thank you for being here, for choosing Calvary as your place of worship. Again, if you're visiting, we want to thank you for being here today, and we invite you to come back and be with us every time that you can. Choir, if you'll meet me this afternoon at 4 o'clock, then the service downstairs at 5 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. It'll be a great time. We're so excited about it. Be a time of fellowship as well, so we look forward to that. Thank you in advance, Brother Larry, for being the grill master. Amen. But again, it's so good to see you, and let's ask the Lord just to be in our service this morning in a very special way. Father, we love you. And Lord, how we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us. Lord, help us not to take that for granted. There are a lot of folks this morning, we know, Lord, that would love to be in your house and can't. Lord, some are, Lord, in their homes, and they're just not able to be here physically. And Lord, we pray that you'd bless them and touch them. Be with those that are sick. Be with Miss Claudia and others that are going through a very difficult time. Lord, you know every situation. Lord, you knew it before this morning that he was in, before it was even mentioned. And we thank you for that. Now I pray, Lord, you'd be in our service. Lord, I pray that your hand would be upon our pastor today. May our hearts and our minds be open to receive your word. That when we leave this place, we'll be a different people than when we came in. Lord, would you just draw us a little closer to you? And then if there would be someone here today that's never accepted you as their Savior, may this be the day they'd realize that and come to know you as the Lord of their life. Now, Lord, bless the offering, both the gift and the giver. Thank you again, Lord, for the sun that shines on the outside. But thank you most of all for the sun that's shining on the inside. We praise you and we thank you for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
trip. We're going to go to Gibbs Gardens up in North Georgia, about an hour north of Atlanta. And I have a sign-up sheet. It's over here by the organ. And we're going to go on Friday, May the 12th. That's not this Friday, but next Friday. And I do need you to sign up and let me know. The cost for seniors, it's 65 and up, is $18. Adults are $25. So if you could, we do have the bus, and CJ is going to drive the bus for us. So we have plenty of room. Come on and sign up, and we'll have a good time together. So we plan to leave at 10 o'clock from the church on the bus and have lunch up there and then go tour through the Gibbs Gardens, which I hear is beautiful. I've never been. But it promises to be a good time, and I'm just trying to do more activities for our seniors. So now our seniors are 50 and up, so sign up. Or even if you're almost 50, just go ahead and sign up and come. We will enjoy it. So please sign up. And I'd like to get the money by next Sunday so I can order the tickets online, which will save us time up there so we don't have to stand in line to get tickets. So if you could remember that, May the 12th, Friday, 10 o'clock, and $18 for seniors, $25 for adults. Thank you.
Don't miss it. Be there.
David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost, save knowing Christ. Little John said he is precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. Did I mention that I love him? How I worship and adore him when I can see no way? He makes a way. And did I how many sermons can be preached about this Jesus? How many songs can be sung about God's Son? There are not enough words, enough notes in the music to tell the story of all my Savior has done. Did I mention he's been faithful? all I want to say. That's all I want to say.
Looking forward, and it seems as the days go by, Brother Harold, the older I get, the more I look forward to seeing his face. And for about the first 10,000 years, I just want to thank him for not all just for all he's done, but for just who he has been to me. For saving me, for loving me when I'm unlovable.
Amen.
And oh man, what a day, a glorious day that's going to be when we see him. When my Jesus.
and I look on his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Blessing. What a blessing for the child of God. The best is yet to come. Best is yet to come. I wish I could say that we will experience the best down here. I'm not sure if we will or not, but I know we'll experience the best up there. Best up there. And what a blessing. Thank you guys for that song. Appreciate that. This morning we're going to be back in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 9 is where we're going to be this morning, Genesis chapter 9. And Lord confirmed my message. He always confirms my messages, but sometimes it's more so than others. I guess it's more so of me getting out of the way and listening and not making it complicated. But there's a large piece to preaching that is complicated. And I'm not one of these who throws the Bible open and sticks his finger out and says, okay, that's what God wants me to preach. But I truly believe that there are certain sermons for certain services. Each and every service has different people in it. And but I'm confident this morning, as I am every morning, every time I stand, whether it's a Wednesday or a Sunday morning, Sunday night, of the message this morning. The first thing I noticed when I got up this morning was what I heard. I heard rainfall. There is the corner of the house and the gutter that goes down, and the plate on the bottom of the gutter. It just has a way of the rain. I love that sound. Anybody else love the sound of rainfall and certain places of the house that it hits on the outside? It just, I don't know, it was just good for me this morning to hear that. And hearing what I heard and what I felt last Sunday we talked about Noah and the example of Noah, and mentioned some things out of his life. And I want to continue with Noah this morning, but I want to talk about after the rain came, after the floods abated, and after that Noah stepped out on dry ground. And there was a certain covenant called the Noahic covenant, or the Noahic covenant, that God made with Noah and every creeping thing and every creature and with the earth a perpetual covenant that he will never flood this place again. And as looking into this subject matter about this covenant, the Lord had actually stated in previous chapters how that he knew that the evilness of man's heart would continue. So therefore, he would not flood the world every time evilness would reach a peak, I guess, under his supervision. He would just continually be flooding this place because the evilness of man's heart continues. And so this covenant I'm going to talk about this morning is a grace covenant. It's a grace covenant. I will never flood this earth again, yet I will give man opportunity to get saved. This covenant we're talking about, the Lord said, I will put my bow in the sky. I'll put my bow in the sky. This morning I want to talk about the rainbow, if I could, for a few moments. The rainbow, and you know, it was raining coming into church. It's sunshiny now. There may be a rainbow outside. I don't know. But according to the Word of God and according to science, there's a perfect opportunity when church is over to go outside and for there to be a rainbow in the cloud. This morning, I want to mention some things about the rainbow. But first, let me just say again that the rains came, flooded the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And we know that eventually those waters abated. And the Bible says in chapter 8, back up one chapter, chapter 8, verse number 16, it says, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And so they went. They went. Noah had previously sent forth a raven out of that one window in the ceiling of the ark. Those who have experienced the ark encounter, what, Kentucky? Is that where it's at? Everyone who's been there, raised their hand. Okay, I have not. And we're going to go one day. But there was one window, and he sent forth the raven. And the Bible says that the raven did not come back into the ark. He sent forth a dove. The dove did come back into the ark. And 7 days later, he released the dove again, and the dove came back with an olive leaf in its mouth. And he knew that it was time. He knew that it was time to prepare to go out of the ark. And so he did. The Bible says, go forth out of the ark. And so now Noah is on dry ground. We read in verse number 20 that he builded an altar unto the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 20. And took of every clean beast, of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Lord, thank you for sparing our life. Thank you, Lord, for honoring your word, your promises. Lord, thank you, thank you. And the Bible says in verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. It pleases the Lord when we express gratitude and thankfulness. And the Lord said in his heart, listen to this, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Not only flood, but curse the ground. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So he says the four seasons will continue. He said, I'm not going to curse the ground again. Chapter 9, he says, I'm not going to destroy the earth again with a flood. We see that this Noah that preached righteousness at least 120 years, who was faithful to God, who is a patriarch of the faith, also fell. He fell. If you notice in verse number 18, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. And Noah began to plant, to be an husbandman. And he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. So what is God going to do? Is he going to destroy the earth again because of the evilness of Noah's heart and man's heart? No. But he made a covenant with him that he'll never flood the earth again. And he will give grace and mercy for mankind to repent of their sin and turn to him for salvation. And we know that there were some other lewd actions, things that took place. Verse 24, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. We're not going to elaborate on that. But something happened. His son took notice of Noah's nakedness and did some explicit lewd act to his father. Terrible, terrible degeneration. Sin was there in the picture, and it was from the very family that was in the ark. And so the Lord, knowing the beginning from the end from the beginning, and knowing everything in between, he said, Noah, this covenant is not based on you, but it's based on me. And he says that I'm not going to flood the earth again. I'm not going to curse the ground again. I'm not going to do none of those things again. So we have the Noahic covenant. Look in verse number 1 of chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So that's what they were to do. They were the second first family. Think about that for a minute. They were the second first family. The first family was Adam and Eve. Now it's Noah and Mrs. Noah. And so now there's a reboot of what happened in the beginning. Now there is a fresh start. Now there is a do-over. If you look down in verse number 6, the Lord says there's a new set of rules, and one of them is capital punishment. Look at verse number 6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he him. He said, I'm laying down some ground rules, and they're going to be firm. And listen, we're not getting into politics this morning. We're not getting into rules and laws of this land. But I personally believe in capital punishment, because the Word of God states that capital punishment is a thing, and it was a law given among men. The Lord said, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. Capital punishment, we see, is first instituted here in chapter number 9. I believe in capital punishment. And then we go on and we see that the Lord is speaking to Noah. We're getting ready to be in the message in a moment. But verse number 8, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations, forever. I do set my bow in the cloud. And it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, a cloud, rain, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you, and every living creature of all the earth, and the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh, the waters that come from the cloud. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Preaching on the rainbow today. God's bow, the rainbow. Judy Garland came to my mind this morning when she sang the song Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Somewhere Over the Rainbow. I remember as a little boy and The Wizard of Oz being on TV in black and white. And I remember it being so terrifying, though, of how that house went up in the air and spun around and then landed in those witches' feet. You know? And but then she sang Somewhere Over the Rainbow, wishing to go somewhere different. Judy Garland sang that song. How about that? In today's society, when it comes to the rainbow, it has been misused and abused as an emblem of an alternate lifestyle. I want to say this morning that they can't take our rainbow from us. That's anything further from the truth. The rainbow is not a symbol of an alternate lifestyle. The rainbow is a symbol from Almighty God that He will never flood the earth again. That's what the rainbow means. And as Christians, more now than ever, we need to take a stand and correct what the devil, what the world has tried to change and make their own. The rainbow is God's bow. We're not being harsh. We're not being mean. We're not being unkind. We're just laying it out as it is. The rainbow goes back to Bible doctrine. So this morning, I want to share with you three things about the rainbow, and I hope it'll be a blessing. Number one, let's look at the description. Verse number 13, he says, I do set my bow in the cloud. Under the word description, let's look at the meaning of the word bow. The meaning of the word bow means it's through the idea of in the sense of bending. In the sense of bending. It also means like a hunter's weapon. The bow and the arrow. It's an arch. It's a semicircle. That's what a bow is. It is those things I just mentioned to you. And we have the bow that is formed when rain comes from a cloud. And it's the rainbow. That's the meaning of the word bow under this description. But what about the making of a rainbow? The making. All right. Everybody ready for a little bit of science? A little bit of Bill Nye the Science Guy? A rainbow is caused, listen closely, a rainbow is caused by sunlight entering water droplets. It bends. Going from air to dense water is how the bend occurs. It's sunlight shining through the water droplets, and it has its bend. It forms its bend from the mixture of air hitting the dense water. Thus, light reflects from inside the water. That's how the light reflects. Light reflects from inside the water. And so we have the making of a rainbow. We have the meaning of the rainbow, but then I want you to notice the maker of the rainbow. He says in this verse, verse 13, I do set my bow, he says, in the cloud. Now, the Lord could have just made a rainbow appear. He could have just put his finger out there and made a rainbow appear. But he used his different things within that rainbow, within the circumstances of clouds and rain. He uses different ingredients to reflect that beautiful image. And the takeaway from that can be that the Lord uses a big mixture of things in our life in order to reflect something beautiful. He takes the stormy conditions, and he takes the rain, the tornadoes, and all the damage you see that tornadoes do, and all of the bad, hard rain, the wind, and the darkness of clouds in the sky. All of those things push in sometimes all at one time, and then it beats and hammers and thunders and destroys everything in its path sometimes. But then after the storm is over, if it's God's will, he will allow a rainbow to be produced where all of that destruction was. And I want to say this morning, that's exactly what God does in our life. He could just, you know, make everything lovely. He could just make everything great for us if he wants to. Like he could just put that bow in the sky, but he uses water droplets for that bow. He uses dense conditions to make something so beautiful. The Lord Jesus in our life this morning, he could have just make things happen. He could just make that doctor's appointment work out. He can just make you pass through open doors and no shut doors. He can just do all of those things and much more. But he chooses to use ingredients. He chooses to use the shut doors in our life to bring beautiful images. He chooses to use bad doctor's reports in our life to teach us how to pray so that we may stay in touch with him. And he uses all of those things and much more, a beautiful image of what God can do in our life. This morning, we see the description of the rainbow. He's the maker of it. I'm glad he's the maker of everything that comes in my life as I'm following him and trusting him. The Lord Jesus is the maker. We've seen the making of a rainbow. It has to do with dense water. It has to do with air. And then we've seen the meaning of a rainbow, or the word bow. And it means an arch or a semicircle in the sense of bending. That's the description of the rainbow. But what about the delivery of the rainbow? Notice in verse number 13. And what I mean by the delivery of the rainbow, why did God constitute or deliver a rainbow? And I just mentioned most of it a moment ago. But the answer to that has to do with a promise. A promise. It is and was a token or sign of the covenant or promise that God will not flood the earth again. Notice again, if you would, verse number 14, and it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. The next time you see a rainbow, that is a biblical bow. That is a God bow. That is his bow. And it is a definite sign that there will never be a worldwide flood again. You say, Brother Justin, what about local floods? It didn't say local floods. Because we have local floods. I'm going to tell you, we have local floods. I remember one time when we were still living in our parsonage at Floyd Road. And it rained hard for 24 hours. Hard. I mean, so hard that, Clay Road going into Powder Springs, I think it is. All them low plain areas. There was even a little Baptist church down there. and the Fox 5 News showed it, and the only thing showing of that church was the very top of the cross on the steeple. Everything was underwater. The road that we take to go to Christie's grandmother's house in Lithia Springs, that whole entire road was underwater, all the way up to one of the top levels of one of those houses. Christie's grandpa, he's in heaven now, but I remember one time he said, Justin, during that flood, I looked outside and there was a deer trying to get out of the water. He was floating down the road. I thought to myself, man, that's a flood. There's all kinds of local floods. And the Lord said, he didn't say there wouldn't be no more local floods. He just said there will be no more worldwide floods. And so we see a promise here that when the bow is in the cloud, that is Jesus saying to us, God saying to us, that I will never flood this place again. But it's also a covenant of his grace, giving opportunity for sinful man to be made right with him. It's exactly what it is. So we see that this morning, the delivery of the bow. We see a promise, but then we see a picture. The darkest of clouds come and rain and wind beat upon the earth, but then the rainbow comes. It's a picture of God's mercy along with God's grace. As God uses it to radiate this beautiful rainbow, as we said a moment ago, God uses ingredients in our life to radiate beautiful things for him. But also this rainbow, it is a picture of the darkest of times in our life, and how that after the storm there's a rainbow. That's a picture of God's mercy. It's a picture of that the Lord will only allow for you to suffer the storm for so long. Whenever you see a rainbow, that means the storm is over. And he puts his sign of approval on it. I will never flood the earth again. And so whenever we go through storms, the Lord has a way of showing mercy at some point along the way or another. There is a rainbow somewhere over the rainbow in our life. There's a time of peace and a time of rest. There will be a rainbow in your life. Somebody may be here this morning who's going through a storm. You may be going through a storm medically. You may be going through some kind of, situation at work. You may be living in a household where there's abuse and there's arguing and fighting. You say, Brother Justin, there's no rainbows in my world today. Well, you just keep on turning to Jesus. Keep on praying and asking God to intervene in your life. Make steps toward him and make better steps in your life towards straightening things out at home if you can, and on the job if you can. Hang in there. But I will tell you, sooner or later, there will be a rainbow in your life. Anybody need any rainbows in their life? Oh, listen, I love to have some rainbows in my life. And there has been some rainbows in my life. There's been some hard times in our life. There's been some hard times in our life, like you. There's been some rough times, but there's also been some rainbows in our life. Those times when you're up to it and you're up to your neck in it. And you don't think you can go another step. And then you get a phone call. Or you get something in the mail. Or something happens along the way in your day. And it just brings your joy to the fullest. It brightens your day. Hey, that blessing that God sent your way is multicolored. It changes you in every aspect. It turns your discouragement into devotion. It turns your problems into praise. These rainbows do. And every time you see a rainbow in your life, and physically after a storm, it is a picture that the Lord does give rainbows. I don't know. Maybe I'm preaching to myself this morning. But I do know this. There are many reasons when you see that rainbow that God has put it in that reason, but many applications. There's the delivery of this rainbow. There's the description of this rainbow. But then lastly, this morning, We may finish on time. We see the direction of this rainbow. What do you mean direction? Who was this sign directed for? Who was this sign for? This rainbow, this token, this covenant, this promise. Verse 8 and 9, it was for Noah, number one. Verse 8, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you. With you. And with your seed after you. And builded. And his wife was the one who walked faithfully by his side. And he was submissive to God. His wife was submissive to him. He built that ark. He preached righteousness, judgment to come. The rain came. They got in the ark. They landed the ark. They got out of the ark. And no matter how wicked things would get, Noah wouldn't have to worry about if rain did come. He wouldn't have to flood. It wouldn't be flooding the earth. He wouldn't have to worry about that. That chapter in his life was over. It was done. It was finished. Now Noah had, when the Lord would put that bow in the sky, he could look and say, okay, no matter how bad it gets, God's not going to flood this place again. That's actually a promise that he won't flood this place again. And that is a promise that he extends grace. No matter how wicked things get, he's going to extend grace during this dispensation. And so, how about it in your life? We wish that there were some chapters that would turn from previous stages of life. You may be here this morning and wish that you were a little like Noah, how that page was turned and it was over. No, the judgment of God was not, it came and it went, but it's no more. Noah wouldn't have to worry about that. The task of hammering and building that ark, those days were over. He was obedient to that. Now it's a new day. Noah stepped out of that ark on dry ground, and God was using him as the first family to replenish the earth. Chapter for Noah. I wonder if anybody needs a new chapter this morning. A new chapter in life. I wonder if anybody is tired of the chapter you've been in. Why don't you ask God to turn the page? Why don't you do all that you can? You may be doing that now, but do all that you can to position things so that you can succeed and move forward. Sometimes chapters in life aren't bad chapters. It's just that you're ready to turn the page, amen? Sometimes it's due to bad things. Sometimes it's due to just mediocre things. You're just ready for things to be. And then we see again Noah, how he enjoyed the land. So this covenant was to Noah, verse 10 through 13. We won't read all these verses, but the covenant was to the earth, us. Verse number 12, the Bible tells us that it's forever, perpetual. It's a perpetual covenant to all generations. He will never flood the earth again. Now, this isn't the right message to talk about how he will destroy the earth in the future. That's not going to be done with water. That's going to be done with fire. Water and fire, two elements that God created. Talk about the rainbow. The rainbow. The description, the delivery, the direction. Somebody may need a page to be turned in their life. Ask God. God, is everything done on this page? If so, he'll help you turn the page. He'll help you walk into some newness of life if that's what you desire and that's his desires. Wherever the case is, whatever you might need this morning, God is here and he's willing to do business with all of us. He can bring beauty out of storms and create something pretty and beautiful like a rainbow. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the message. I pray that you would apply it to every heart, especially to those who need it the most. Give liberty during this time of invitation, and we will thank you for that. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand to our feet this